This Sunday, we begin Passiontide, that last two-week period of preparation before Easter. Surely you've noticed everything is covered in purple. The reason being is following the gospel story, our Lord came to Jerusalem. He's performed miracles like the cure of a blind man, eventually the raising of Lazarus. The Pharisees, the elders, the scribes are all now plotting to kill Jesus. So he goes into hiding. In the midst of all this, though, hiding until next week with Palm Sunday, his triumphal re-entry into Jerusalem. In the midst of all this, though, somewhere before the hiding takes place, we have this gospel scene. So here we have the Pharisees bringing this poor woman who's been caught in adultery. And they just throw her, really, in the midst of this crowd. One can imagine how she felt, filled with shame, humiliation, and the like. Well, the Torah in the book of Leviticus said, if a man commits adultery with his neighbor's wife, both the adulterer and the adulteress shall be put to death. Pause. Where's the other person involved in this? The woman's here, but where's the man? Remember, as we heard in the gospel, this was done to test Jesus. There's a very wicked plot that underlies this passage. If our Lord said, go set her free, she's forgiven, and so on, they would have accused our Lord of disregarding the Torah laws. If our Lord said, go ahead, stone her, then they would have accused Jesus of being a hypocrite. He's talked about mercy and so on, and now he says, stone her. Also, only the Roman authorities could execute. So if our Lord said that, stone her, they would have reported him to the Roman authorities, Jesus would have been arrested, and he himself would have been executed. So this is a no-win situation. Our Lord, in the midst of this, is writing on the ground. No one really knows what he was doing. Maybe he was just listening to them. But there's a deeper meaning here. In the books of the Bible, God only writes twice. First of all, in the Old Testament, he writes the Ten Commandments. It says that God spoke to Moses the Ten Commandments, and with his finger, he carved them into stone. Keep in mind what's happening. The Father speaks his word. That's the Son. The Holy Spirit is a manifestation of that finger. Now, in this passage, God writes again, Jesus, the Word who became flesh. So what is he writing on the ground? Is he writing the sixth commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery? Is he writing the woman's name? Is he writing the adulterer's name? We don't know. But here again, I think that if we go to the prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah writes that those who turn away from God will have their names written in the earth. Think of that. God, in the plan of creation, formed us from the dirt, the dust of the earth. He made us in his image, and he breathed life into us. He gave us that immortal soul, setting us apart from all of creation. He gave us the intellect and the free will. Adam and Eve, though, did sin. But even then, even though they took that dirt of sin onto themselves, and even though God said, now you will return to dust through death, God promised a Savior. And so our Lord came into this world. In that very mystery of the incarnation, Jesus, true God, becoming true man, he elevated our human dignity to something greater than Adam and Eve. Through his cross and resurrection, he forgave sin. He conquered suffering and death and gave us the hope of everlasting life. Even though we do face death, we believe and we know our soul, God willing, if we've kept the faith, will be in heaven. And one day there will be this glorious resurrection of the body and will be once again a complete person. So here, our Lord is probably writing this down because this poor woman has sinned. And sin really is like becoming dirty. That's the key. Sin, whether it's mortal or venial, is becoming dirty. Sin is a violation of God's love. It's a violation of the right relationships that we ought to have with God, our neighbor, even ourselves. Sin is a violation of the freedom that God wants us to live in. It's an abuse of freedom. So picture it this way, that when we commit those venial sins, it's like our souls becoming tarnished. But when we commit that mortal sin, it's like taking the dirt and throwing it onto a flame. We suffocate the grace in our soul. This is what happens. Now the Pharisees press Jesus for an answer. What's he going to say? Well, our Lord says, the one without sin, cast the first stone. And with that, they leave. Our Lord then turns to her, and he says, I do not condemn you, but sin no more. Our Lord's not making light of sin. He's not saying, I'm okay, you're okay, doesn't matter what you did, everything's fine, and so on. No, our Lord's saying, do not sin again. But that makes her come to a decision point. What happens next? Will she go back to her old way of life? Or is she going to change and open her heart to the Lord? Now, we don't know because the story stops there. But I think, and Pope St. Gregory agrees with me, that this woman is Mary Magdalene. So after this scene, if we look at Luke's gospel, this woman who is a naughty, that's not a good word, a bad woman, approaches Jesus in the home of Simon the Pharisee. She comes down, kneeling, pours forth her tears to wash his feet, dries them with her hair, and is remorseful, penitent. And Jesus says to her, your sins are forgiven. Just as an aside, this is why we have a beautiful stained glass window, second from the front on this side, depicting that scene. Here was Mary Magdalene finding forgiveness. From that point on, she became a disciple. Eventually, she stands at the foot of the cross. Eventually, she's one of the first ones to see the risen Lord. From there, she continues on to take care of our Blessed Mother until the time of the Assumption. After that, she becomes like a hermit, a penitent. Mary Magdalene. What a beautiful story then. So, we come to that point. Well, my brothers and sisters, we could look at this and remember what St. Paul said. St. Paul said, I consider everything so much rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, forgetting what lies behind, but straining forward to what lies ahead, I continue my pursuit toward the goal, the prize of God's upward calling in Christ Jesus. As we begin Passiontide then, let's pause and think of this infinite, merciful God who has given us a Savior. We live in a new Stone Age when we think about it. There are so many people who talk about don't judge, but they're the first to cast the stones, and they condemn, and they throw those stones at the others and so on. Maybe they even demand apologies and so on, but they never say, I'm a poor sinner too. Never do they say, it's my fault. That's the world we live in. And maybe that hard-heartedness affects us. Have we gone to confession this Lent? Have we opened ourselves to the mercy of God? All of us here have taken on the dirt of life. And so it's time, if you haven't done so, to go to confession. There, our Lord waits for us in that figure of the priest, his minister. Remember on the night of Easter, Jesus said to the apostles, receive the Holy Spirit, what sins you forgiven, they are forgiven. He gave us the sacrament. The priest sits there waiting. So he's not standing above in judgment. He's sitting there waiting to hear the confession. When we pour out our hearts with truly a contrite soul, our Lord forgives us. We hear the words of absolution, and with that, we're washed clean. And the grace of life is restored into our soul. As I've said many times, though, to people who've been away for a long time or maybe in serious mortal sin, what's important is not the past. What's important is where do you go from here when you walk out that door? That's the opportunity that our Lord gives us each time we go to confession. So heed the message. Make the time to do this. Now, when we think of this beautiful story, if you wanted a real example, go see the movie Unplanned. I did so this past Thursday, and I hear it's still playing this week. It's a beautiful story, and I would encourage everyone who's ninth grade on up to see it, because it is a story of hard-heartedness, but a hard-heartedness that can be broken. And we see real compassion, mercy, truth, and forgiveness. Take the time to see that movie. Very few times watching a movie am I brought to a tear. And on Thursday, at the end of that movie, I was. It's a worthwhile viewing. But then I also need some help here. So I'm asking the children to help. All the children in our parish, if they're in our grade school, religious ed, our youth group, have gone to confession this Lent. How wonderful that is. So children, I need your help. I need you to tell your parents or ask them, Mom or Dad, why don't you go to confession? Come to confession with me. I'll go with you if you're afraid. Now, if Mom and Dad say, oh, I have no sin, I don't need to go to confession, then children, say to your mom or dad, well, do you remember when you lost your temper in traffic? Do you remember when you said that bad word at another driver? Do you remember when you were impatient at home? Do you remember when you wasted time when you could have been helping me do homework and so on? Think of that. So children, be the good little guardian angels and ask your parents to take you to confession. Because after all, my brothers and sisters, in 2 weeks we celebrate Easter. But soon, sometime in our life, we leave this life. And when we face our Lord, we don't want him to point to the earth and see our name written there. We want him to point to the book of life and say, welcome into my kingdom. May God bless you.